the Diz Dads Podcast Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix. The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at kingdomstrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort and pick it up from the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando stroller rentals and an authorized Walt Disney World stroller vendor. Today on the Dad Show, I'll be talking with David Matt and his daughter Christina. Welcome to the show, David and Christina.
Hi, Aaron. How are you doing?
Doing great. Looking forward to talking to you guys about this family trip you took on the Disney Magic. And you were on the Magic, and you also had a brief pre-cruise stay at Art of Animation Resort. Let's talk about deciding to take a cruise on the Magic. How did you decide to do it? When did you decide to do it? How much lead time did you give yourself?
Well, I actually got the idea from listening to a Diz Dads podcast. Jay Lewis and his kids were on talking about the trip they had done on the Disney Fantasy probably about a year ago. And when I heard the kids talking about how much fun they had at the kids club, it sounded like something that would really work well for my kids, because it essentially seemed like you get a family vacation where the kids get to go and also kind of do their own thing for a while, and hey, mom and dad get a little bit of a break too. So that seemed to be a really nice thing to do. I'd actually then wound up kind of researching cruises in general, because they wind up, leaving from the nearby Port of Houston and Galveston.
Oh, right, yeah.
And unfortunately, while the Disney Wonder was in, which probably would have been super convenient, the time of year didn't really work out. And because this was kind of our very first cruise ever for essentially, either my wife or I or anyone in the family, we weren't really sure what to expect. And, we kind of wanted to start out with something pretty short, like a 3 or 4 day cruise, just in case there were issues. We, weren't trapped on the ship for a week or such.
Right. And those Galveston cruises were all a bit longer, just partially because it takes longer to get, from where the Port of Galveston is to Castaway Key, which is the target of many of those cruises. So I think that the shortest cruises out of Galveston were probably, 5 or 6 nights?
Yeah, I think they had some 5 days, but they didn't go to Castaway Cay. They just did, some ports in Mexico and such. And, we really wanted, from what I'd heard, I really wanted a chance to check out the island.
Right.
So that was kind of a compelling reason.
Okay. So that led you to this cruise on the Magic. Now, when did you sail again?
We sailed out February 7th.
Okay.
And initially, I wasn't too sure, just kind of given, the initial planning, whether or not to do the Disney Dream, which left on a Thursday, or the Magic, which left on a Friday. And when I was, because we'd be driving in from Houston, and I was kind of crunching through the logistics of, okay, so many hours from this city to that city, and it was cutting it a bit tight with the Disney Dream. So, the last thing I'd want is to essentially miss the ship by half an hour.
That would be a bad thing.
Yeah, or even if we got there, say, 2 or 2:30, I really wanted, kind of a chance to, sort of spend more time on the ship early on and sort of get a feel for it. So decided, let's do the Magic on Friday. And I actually contacted Fairy Tale Journeys to set up the booking, kind of knowing, okay, I'll do it on the Magic on Friday, and I'll figure out later on, what I'm going to do with sort of the time ahead.
Right, sure.
And as sort of the, you know, call it, the months went on, I got to sort of work out the details a little bit more, and it turned out that there'd be a fair amount of time, and kind of one of the key things was sort of exactly when we would leave Houston on Wednesday, because if I could get basically the kids picked up from school, then pick up my wife, and manage to get out right before Houston traffic hit, that'd make a big time difference compared to, say, having to wait through, you know, a few hours of Houston traffic to make it outside the city.
Yeah, avoiding the traffic is really almost an art form in doing those kind of drives. You know, you have the Houston traffic to dodge, and then I assume, are you far enough south that you manage to dodge the Atlanta traffic, or do you have to work through that as well?
We bypass Atlanta. We do go through Baton Rouge around along the way, and also Mobile, Alabama. But usually, at least with this particular trip, both of those were late enough in the evening that traffic wasn't going to be a problem. But we do, I'd say, a fair amount of distant driving. We do about one or two trips to Chicago each year, and then maybe a trip or so to Florida to go to Disney World or such. So we're kind of, you know, accustomed as a family to doing a few big trips each year.
All right. So the Road Warriors were headed to Florida, and you didn't head straight to Port Canaveral. You went ahead and headed to Orlando first.
Yes. We decided we hadn't stayed at the Art of Animation, and as part of our, you know, long-term goal to stay at every Disney resort, we decided, hey, let's give that a try. And one of the other kind of ideas I'd heard from, a real old DizDad podcast was just kind of talking about all the things you could do outside the parks in, you know, the Disney resort area. And since I didn't want to spend, you know, essentially a day, you know, ticket price, because those are pretty astronomical, you know.
The one-day ticket is the most expensive ticket. We always tell people that.
Yeah, it's if you compare that to, say, the cost of, you know, usually we go for, say, 6 days to 8 days, you know, it's, you know, essentially after you've been there 4 or 5 days, it's practically free.
Yeah, at that point, it's like $10 a day.
Yeah. So we figured, or at least I figured, well, let's see, you know, what we could get, you know, basically what highlights of everybody's sort of wish list could we do that didn't involve going to the parks. So, Christina, what did you want to do?
Really, I just wanted to go to the pool.
Why do you want to do the pool?
Because, really, I like going to the pool, and I don't really want to miss out on the fun.
Well, and the pools at Art of Animation are, you know, really well done. What did you think of the pools there, Christina?
Well, we only went to the one pool, which I think was the Finding Nemo one.
Okay. Yeah. The big blue pool?
Yeah.
And what did you think of it?
It was cool. We actually got to go to one of their pool parties.
Oh, fun. So what makes it a pool party?
Well, we play lots of different games and, you know.
They give out prizes?
Give out prizes.
Excellent. And did you notice, this is one of my favorite features of that pool. Did you notice that when you go underwater, there's, like, you can hear music and things?
Yes.
So what did you think of the underwater speakers?
Well, after a while, it get a bit annoying.
Really? Okay. So what was annoying about it?
Like, it's just, like, I go underwater so many times, and then you're just hearing this classic music, and I'm like, grr, I like rock music.
Okay, so it was the particular music choices. Yeah. That, I could understand that. That makes a lot of sense.
They need to update it with the soundtrack from Frozen, especially given the weather we had that day.
Well, that was the next question I was going to ask, because, you know, you seemed really set on the pool, but I remember February 7th, and it was really cold, and it was surprisingly chilly in Orlando as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was in the upper 60s, and it was overcast and a little bit of drizzle. But despite that, because they keep the pools heated, the kids didn't mind a bit. And the kind of lack of crowds meant that when they did the pool party, they basically had two or three sort of recreation folks that were kind of organizing things that, right. Gave them a whole bunch of attention because there were probably only five or six people in the whole pool area.
Nice. Nothing like having a private audience.
So it's just me and my sisters doing the pool party.
And that meant you won all the prizes too, right?
Yeah. Well, all three of us got prizes, and I think there was one 3-4-year-old.
Okay. So what prizes did you win? Do you remember?
Yeah, we got, yes, some of those, the fish that with their eyes pop out when you squeeze them.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah, my wife headed off. She loves horseback riding, and one of her favorite things to do is go for a trail ride.
So
you guys all love trail rides. I think you guys need to be a little bit older to go on them yet.
We have to be 9.
Yeah, but...
I hate that rule.
But, so she headed out to the Trailblaze Corral over by Fort Wilderness.
Right.
And I took the girls to lunch at the Landscape of Flavors.
Right. Yeah, that was it.
And what did we have?
Tandoori shrimp and naan.
Ooh, yum. And so was the tandoori shrimp and naan at Landscape of Flavors? Have you eaten at Sanaa before?
No, we haven't eaten there yet. And actually, this was kind of her. She's the I'll call it the more adventurous of the girls. She was willing to try some of the Indian food, which I really like. And I was really impressed for a counter service. They did a great job.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what I was getting at, is to see how the quick service versions compared to the only other place that I know of on Disney property that has similar food, which is Sanaa. But so they had you liked the tandoori chicken and naan. What did you think overall of Landscape of Flavors?
Well, I did like how they had many food choices. For the kids' menu, they had pizza and pasta, and I think, what was it again? I don't remember, but I think it was, mac and cheese or salad.
Okay, so but the point was that they had lots of different options, even on the kids' menu, so that you weren't stuck with, just the hot dog or peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah. That was true.
And how about you, David? What did you think of the options?
I was really happy. I was very happy to see the Indian food. After we kind of finished lunch there, met up with Mom later in the afternoon and went to Downtown Disney to get some pins for pin trading.
Yep.
Because the girls had just started pin trading after their Disneyland trip.
Oh, okay. And so it sounds like everybody got to experience, something that they really enjoyed and had fun with and didn't require you to go through the gates of a park.
Yeah, and actually the treat for myself, I saved for the very end, and it was a bit inspired by the Munch Madness podcasts. My wife and I hadn't been to California Grill in probably 15 years.
Oh, wow.
And, listening to you guys, talk about it, I kind of remember that, I really, we've been neglecting that place. We need to stop by there, especially with the refurbishments, and it would then give us a great opportunity to see Wishes.
Right.
So we had a reservation for 7 o'clock there, and it was starting to rain a bit more heavily, but we were in luck that they still had the fireworks display going on pretty early at 8 o'clock, which was great because it gave the kids a chance to see it without them being too tired.
Sure, that's nice. And what did you think of the, you know, recently, fairly recently at least, reopened California Grill? Because I've been hearing mixed reviews. So what did you all think?
Well, I had the goat cheese ravioli, which was really, really good.
Oh, yeah. See, but that's a holdover from the old menu. That's one of my favorite things from the old menu. And I was really glad to see it came back.
Yeah, they definitely need to, you know, like make that an entree or something. It's amazing. I also had the, I think, pork two ways, which was good. My wife had the sushi, and she was a bit disappointed in it. The tuna portion of the sushi was really, really good, but she didn't care for the rest.
Okay.
And she had the squash gnocchi or such, which was good.
And how about the kids? Were the kids there at dinner with you?
Yeah. What did you guys have? Do you remember?
Yes, I do remember. I had some cheese pizza, which is actually pretty good.
Which is always a nice thing because, you know, it's hard to find good pizza at Disney World.
that's true. Although they tend to not mind the, you know, more blander stuff. But, California Grill certainly did a good job on the kids' menu.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so that was pretty much your Disney World portion because you were really just there as kind of a stopover on the way to the ship. So talk to me about your room at Art of Animation first. Were you? I assume you were in one of the theme suites. So which theme had you chosen?
Well, actually, we just stayed in one of the Little Mermaid rooms.
Oh, you were in a Little Mermaid room. Okay.
Yeah. For the kids, the girls actually don't mind kind of all sharing one big bed, so they were pretty happy, especially since it was, you know, just for a single night.
Right, right. Okay.
But, Christine, you want to talk about the decorating in the room?
Yeah. It was actually pretty nice.
Yeah? So what was nice about it? What were the things that stood out that you really liked?
Well, first of all, the decor all around the beds.
Okay, and what was it that you liked about it?
Well, do you know what? There was a hidden bathroom that inspired Ariel's grotto.
Cool.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, they really did a great job on the theming, especially in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. You know, the kind of making it look like essentially an underwater type scene.
Yeah. And it makes you look like you actually have jumped into the movie.
Hmm. Yeah. That's, I think, kind of the idea of Art of Animation all along is to really make you feel like you're part of the movie and the theme, and sounds like they've done it well. All right, so tell me about the next morning. Take us to the cruise ship.
Okay, actually, my wife and I got up pretty early. She wanted to do some laundry to make sure the kids' school uniforms were kind of ready to go when we got back from the trip. So she was doing that. I took the kids off for breakfast at Landscape of Flavors. And it's a sensible place to go. Do you remember what you had for breakfast?
Yes, I had their French toast with maple syrup.
Okay, and I had, I think, the non-breakfast sandwich.
Interesting. So that you had an Indian breakfast as well.
Yeah, I used to travel to India a fair amount on work, and liked the food there, so it was, nice to kind of get a bit more of that, especially for breakfast.
I was going to say, so what did you think of the non-breakfast?
I think it was really good. I think the fact that they're making the bread fresh or the non-fresh in essentially a tandoori-type oven right there at the spot, really makes it good.
Very cool. Okay, so you get up early, you get to Landscape of Flavors, you have your breakfast, and then I assume you hit the road and head towards Port Canaveral?
Yep, it was about an hour's drive, and, luckily I'd had a map printed out. The route we took was pretty direct, so, basically, within the hour, we were coming up on the ship, And I gotta give Disney a lot of kudos. I heard from a lot of folks that done cruises at other spots, especially out of Houston Galveston, that sometimes, you know, getting on board and such could be a bit of a pain or time consuming. But, you know, they had folks there to basically greet us and get our sort of initial information, tell us where to go. I dropped off my wife and the kids and went to the parking garage area where we had sort of, you know, reserved a spot to park, and kind of took care of that errand while they started going through the check-in procedure. And it
let me back, you know, pause for a second. So, so you did go ahead and park, you know, at the cruise terminal there.
Yes.
Okay. And did you set up a reservation for that ahead of time, or did you just, you know, show up and pull up to the garage?
I set it up ahead of time. They had basically like a $60 flat rate for 3 days. I guess you could do a sort of preferred parking spot, which was like literally just, you know, feet away from the terminal, or you could go to the parking garage. But, you know, the parking garage worked out fine.
Sure.
And, you know, I was, you know, really happy with kind of how quickly it went.
Good. So you're getting ready to board the ship. Talk a little bit about the procedure there at the terminal, because you know they collect your information ahead of time. Did you go ahead and pre-register the kids for the kids clubs?
We had gotten in the line for the kids club, and we were, I'd say, sort of halfway through it when they announced that they would be starting boarding. And I'd say it was about right at noon that this started. And, you know, they were making pretty rapid progress through the basically sort of, I'll call it boarding levels. You sort of wind up in a boarding group or such with a number.
Right.
And our number was up pretty quick. So we kind of ditched the kids club line and went directly on board.
Okay. Anything stand out about the boarding process, you know, getting on the ship or anything there?
I'd actually kind of wished I got there a little bit early, because they had some nice stuff to take photos with, the models of the ship, and I think, you know, some like cutouts of the Frozen characters and such. But really, things were moving kind of so quickly that it made sense to just kind of move right on. Oh, want to say something, Christina?
Yeah. They also did have a cutout of Olaf.
Oh, Olaf, yeah.
So did you get some pictures taken with Olaf while you were waiting for your dad to get there from the parking lot?
No.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So you get on the ship, and I assume you head down to look for your stateroom?
Actually, the first thing we did once we got on board was I headed off to do the guest services, which is kind of right on the same level you board at. You know, they basically bring each family in. They sort of announce you by name, all sorts of crew members sort of welcome you on board. And I'd heard that, you know, for doing, say, the wine tasting and whiskey tasting, which I wanted to do the whiskey and wine. My wife just wanted to do the wine. We headed off to get signed up for that.
Oh, okay. So you wanted to get that stuff done right away, make sure you get a spot for the ones that you wanted. That makes sense. And then what else did you do?
And then we grabbed some food. Oh, and you wanted to talk about the food because you really liked the initial buffet we had for the lunch when we first got on. Talk a little bit about it. Okay, but anyways, I guess she'll come to the food options later. But actually, pretty quickly after lunch, we then got into our stateroom, changed into our bathing suits, which we had brought in our carry-on luggage, and then headed off to the pool and discovered the aqueduct.
Okay, now I'm going to hold you for just 1 second. We'll talk about the aqueduct in a minute.
Okay.
But you stopped at your stateroom. I want you to tell me a little bit about the stateroom, because this is, you know, fairly new, right? They just refreshed all these staterooms on the Disney Magic just a few months before you were on board. So what kind of stateroom were you staying in?
I believe it was a family veranda. Very good size. It would sleep five, which was our key requirement.
Sure.
And I was really impressed with the fact that the beds were elevated so that we could easily slide all of our luggage underneath. My wife likes to pack quite a bit, especially since she's very big on making sure the girls have all sorts of different outfits to wear. So we tend to be a little bit clothes heavy in that regard. And, there was plenty of room to go around. And what we found out kind of later in the evening is when they sort of brought down the bunk beds, that there was sort of a main, I think, queen-size bed for my wife and I to sleep on. And then the kids had some pretty good-size, I'd say full-size beds. Two of them arranged in a bunk bed pattern, and then sort of another one in sort of an L shape to the lower bunk bed.
Right, yeah, and they it's amazing to me how they, you know, the jigsaw puzzle, basically, that, you know, allows all those sleeping areas to come together, because it never feels crowded, even when they've got that many people in a cruise stateroom like that.
Yeah, I was really surprised at how big the room felt. I mean, I'd been kind of expecting it to be pretty cramped, but other than the bathrooms, which were, you know, it's nice having the double baths that they do with essentially the toilet in one area, the shower in the other, but both with sinks so that you can essentially get two folks oftentimes brushing their teeth or getting ready in parallel.
Right.
You know, those are kind of tight and claustrophobic, but boy, the rest of the room is downright spacious.
Yeah, the floating bed frame is something they brought over from the Fantasy and Wonder when they did the work on the Magic, and I think it's brilliant. It makes it so much more convenient, so much easier to deal with, you know, the luggage. I mean, it's enough for a shorter cruise like this, for a three-night or a four-night, but I can't even imagine, you know, the Magic sometimes sails transatlantic or does European cruises. Could you imagine trying to put away your luggage for, you know, an 11-night transatlantic cruise without having that floating bed space?
Yeah, that'd be crazy. Oh, go ahead, Christine.
Bags, I would be, like, pretty much everywhere.
Yep.
And, like, bags were everywhere, so, like, the only space you got was pretty much the beds.
Yep, so luckily being able to tuck stuff under the bed really makes things a lot simpler when you've got a lot of bags.
Yes, it definitely does. All right, so we've got the basic idea of the room. Christina, what was your favorite thing about your stateroom?
That we had a little balcony.
So tell me about the balcony. What did you like about it?
I liked that we could just, you know, get some fresh air while, you know, my other sisters are just going crazy in the other stateroom.
Okay, well, no, that's a good point. That's why a lot of people like to have a veranda, especially when there's a big family group, because it does give you a quiet place to step out to.
Yeah, I really liked it for watching when we came up to both Nassau Port early in the morning and then Castaway Cay. Just kind of the views of approaching the docks and kind of getting to see the scenery of the islands as you approach them from the balcony was really nice.
Great. Okay, so now you can take us back up to the pools. You got your suits on. You headed straight for the, you know, just about brand new Aqua Dunk. And I understand that Christina is sort of the expert. So, Christina, tell us about the Aqua Dunk.
Well, the thing I thought was awesome was pretty much everything. The thing I didn't like was, really, people, why are they putting you in a capsule? It makes me feel scared. It makes me want to chicken out.
Yes, and Cecilia was a little intimidated with the whole description that the floor disappears.
Right.
Yeah.
But
and it does.
Yes. But once she went on it, she liked it, didn't she?
Yes.
So, did all the girls ride it?
Not Catherine. Catherine tried the other sort of regular twisty side over at the Aqua Lab area, I think it is.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, she was having a good time there. My wife, during this, she went to the spa area and basically kind of got to check all of that out. And she was around for the 4 p.m. drawing that they did and won basically cruise-long passes for the two of us to the rainforest area and the spa.
Oh, very nice.
So that turned out to be a bit of good fortune. And she also signed up for the 7:30 a.m. boot camps, which by the end of it, she was the only person actually showing up for it.
The only committed health enthusiast, huh?
Yes, yes. But she was very proud of the fact that on the cruise, she did not gain any weights. And, yeah, she was very complimentary of the gym. She thought they've got a very nice setup. And we later on both checked out the spa. And you know, it's a really beautiful area.
So talk to me a little bit about the Rainforest Room. I've heard great things.
Yeah, they have a collection of saunas as well as, I'll call it, may sound a little strange, but kind of a scrubbing area where when you come or, you know, basically sign up for it, they give you sort of this scrubbing lotion / grainy stuff to kind of exfoliate your skin, which, you know, is nice. And then they've got these sort of, call it, stone beds that you can lie on, which are heated. So if you're looking to basically get caught kind of a sauna / heat atmosphere, it's really a great spot to go.
Yeah, that does sound nice. And did you find, you know, that you did find time to use it multiple times on your trip?
Yeah, we each, my wife used it pretty heavily, both in the early mornings and kind of later in the evenings. And I made use of it more in the later evenings with her. And it worked out really good. One thing that just kind of coincidentally, we happened to run into some folks later on that we met at the wine tasting and just had a really good time chatting with them. And turns out they were in a, it was a group of like eight or so folks that worked together. And they happened to be in one of the two-bedroom suites. And, you know, they offered to kind of give my wife and I a quick tour of the area. And, boy, I was amazed at that. The size of those suites they've got there, it's bigger than my first apartment.
Yeah, those two-bedroom suites are pretty amazing. I think there are two of them on the Magic. And they're the only cruise staterooms that I know of that will accommodate six.
Yeah, actually, I think it might be even more than that. I think
it may go up to seven. It's the issue at that point is more, I think, if I'm remembering correctly, it has to do with the rules about density of people to lifeboats.
Wow.
That's one of the reasons why cruise bookings, you know, it can be tricky because when they're selling staterooms, you know, they'll only offer some staterooms depending on the number of people because they've got to portion them out. It can get tricky as it gets closer to sailing time.
Okay. Well, I think we all learned from watching the Titanic of the importance of making sure you've got an adequate number of lifeboats.
Yes, Disney has never had an issue, but it's nice to know that just in case, you know, they're real careful about that. All right. So. Nice little bonus there with the Rainforest Room. Let's kind of move topic by topic, because I think if we go day by day, it's going to kind of bog down a little bit and maybe be more confusing than it will be if we go by kind of topical area. So why don't we start with one of the big topics, obviously, which is dining. You were on the ship for three nights, right?
Yes.
So you got to check out each of the three prime dining rooms, I assume?
Yes, and our the Animator's Palette was up first, then, Caballeros? Not sure how you say it.
Yeah, Caballeros.
Caballeros, and then Lumiere's.
Okay, so of the three, which was your favorite?
My favorite was Lumiere's. I love the escargot. I think for the girls, it was probably Animator's palette because they love watching the pictures come to life.
Okay. So, Christina, tell me about it. Which restaurant was your favorite?
I was thinking Animator's palette.
Okay. Well, tell them about it.
First, you get seated in, as always. And you order, and then as you wait, the pictures start erasing, and there's like a show of how to draw each Disney character.
Oh, very cool.
And some of them got animated, some of them got colored in and came to life. And at the end, there's a show.
Yeah, at the end, they basically show a lot of footage from some of the Disney films that kind of fit in with the overall theme of kind of famous sequences of animation.
Cool. Very nice. Anything memorable about the food?
Nah, she's not a foodie yet.
Okay.
But I'm a soup lover, and I told our server basically for every meal, I want one of each of the soups you're serving. And they were more than happy to accommodate that, and they've got a lot of delicious soups.
What was your favorite?
Oh, I'm going to go with the French onion soup.
And where'd you get that?
Lumiere's.
Okay. All right, so and Lumiere's is the roughly French menu, yes?
Yes, and the South American one, really good. To be honest, other than the empanadas, which were so-so, it was okay, but I'd say Animator's Palette and Lumiere's really kind of stood out as my favorites.
Okay. Well, Were there any particular food items that stood out aside, obviously French onion soup, escargot you've mentioned? Anything else that you would tell people don't miss it?
Actually, somewhat from the buffet in the mornings, they have kind of the fancy eggs Benedict with the hollandaise sauce,
right?
And that's definitely something I don't normally get, and that was a real treat.
Very cool. Okay, so talk a little bit about dining. Let's talk about entertainment now. Were you guys regular attendees of the evening shows?
I went to two of them. My wife went to one. We both saw Villains Tonight, which was really good. And I saw the Twice Charmed, I think it is, with the retelling of the Cinderella story.
Okay.
Which I also really enjoyed. And that was definitely to be, those were worth going to. We also had a lot of fun seeing Frozen in 3D. The whole family went one afternoon to go see that one. The ship was docked at Nassau.
Oh, okay. And Christina, how about you? Did you check out any of the shows, or were you too busy in the kids' clubs?
I went to Frozen.
Yeah.
How'd you like it?
It was actually pretty good. It was just like the regular Frozen, but in 3D.
Yeah, we'd seen it twice in the regular 2D format.
Oh, okay.
And went for a third time in 3D.
Sounds good. Anything else about the entertainment other than the big shows that you checked out and particularly enjoyed?
Well, one thing we wound up missing, we'd been hoping to, my wife and I, to check Saving Mr. Banks, but it turned out that just all the times they had it at just weren't convenient. So going to have to wait for that one to come out on Netflix or DVD.
Okay. Then let's kind of move to the next aspect of entertainment, and I'm going to ask Christina especially about the kids' clubs, because that's sort of the most important part of the kids' entertainment on board. So, Christina, what did you think of the kids' clubs?
Well, first, I thought they were awesome with a capital A.
Okay. And what did you think was so awesome about them?
Well, first, the Oceaneers Club had the themes of almost all the Pixar originals, like Toy Story.
Uh-huh.
There's one thing I could not forget. Ham. There was one thing I cannot forget. Ham, and we would have these little very big coins and put them through his, you know, slot, and it would just, you know, roll out of the other end. It's just like in the scene where he loses all his money.
Right, right. I could see how that would be fun.
And there's Pixie Hollow, which the little kids get to dress up in fairy costumes and princesses. And did I mention that there was computers you could play, like, you know, the games on? And there is also Avengers for the boys, for all the boys out there that are hearing this.
Okay. So you didn't want to check out the Avengers Academy?
Well, I did. And do you know what was so disappointing?
What?
They did not have any of the girl superheroes.
Oh, yeah, that is a problem. I mean, you'd think they'd at least have Black Widow.
I know. One boy said there was supposed to be Black Widow, but there wasn't.
I see. Well, we'll have to talk to them about that. That's just wrong.
I know.
Yeah, they also had the problem that the Iron Man, sort of becoming Iron Man, wasn't fully working or such, so yeah. They didn't have the kind of computer effects with that. So that was a bit of a disappointment.
Yeah, that's too bad. That's one that I wanted to check out.
Yeah, I think Sean McCumber had talked about doing that, and you know, I was really looking forward to that, as was Christina, but unfortunately it just, was out of operation, and I guess with there being only one or two of them in the world, they've got some bugs to work out in the system.
Right, right. All right. So anything that you would tell other kids who were, you know, maybe a little nervous about doing the kids' clubs or weren't sure about it, what would you tell other kids who, you know, were unsure? How would you convince them to check out a kids' club?
That there's no worry. All the counselors are nice, and I'm sure that if a kid hits, slaps, or calls mean names, they'll, you know.
The counselors would deal with it.
The counselors would deal with it.
I don't think that happened.
Yeah, it didn't happen.
Good.
All the kids are nice.
Good.
And you know what? There's one thing that made it awesome.
What?
The Oceaneers Club and the Oceaneers Lab.
Now, you spent a lot of time in the lab. What did you do in the lab?
Well, can I get on to the super awesome part?
Sure.
There is a secret entrance to the Oceaneers Lab from the Oceaneers Club.
Ooh. Well, maybe you should keep the actual, you know, location of that entrance a secret so that it stays a secret entrance.
Yeah. I will not tell you, but I'm telling you a very, very, you know, yeah, I'm giving you a very good hint. It is somewhere in the Mickey Mouse Club.
Okay, that's good to know.
And it's behind two big red doors.
Okay.
Okay.
So... But yeah, the kids loved the club. It was in the lab. It was kind of difficult to drag them out of there. When the Pirates party started one night, I basically came down and tried to convince them to come up and check the Pirates party out. But the kids club was packed and they were all having a good time. So I came back about an hour later, right before the fireworks were about to start, and basically told them if they wanted to see the fireworks, they had to come up. And the club was kind of empty enough by that point that they weren't too busy playing with other kids. So they went up to the Pirates party.
Can I tell?
Sure.
The Oceaneers Lab is actually pretty cool.
Okay.
There is computers. And do you know what? There's Pirates of the Caribbean on the computers, Tides of Fortune. And there's also Fix the Felix Jr. and other Disney games.
Fun.
And there's also a sail your own ship thingy.
Yeah, so did you drive the ship?
Yes.
And did you manage to keep it from crashing?
Yes, I did a life mission, and do you know what I did? I drove the Disney Magic, and I'm like, yay, I am driving the ship we are on. No, I wasn't technically captain. I was just the captain of the video game Magic. And I'm like, oh, crash through the port. Don't want to do that. Anyways, my first time. There's a first time for everything.
Yeah, be a bummer if the real Castaway K got demolished by a driving accident.
Yeah, so do you know what? I was lost. I got lost in the sea in the middle of nowhere.
So, and your sisters had a really good time doing craft projects. Christina kind of prefers more the science experiments and the computer games. Yeah. They were doing more of the various clay crafting projects and such.
Yeah.
All right.
And the good thing is there was Play-Doh in the art thing, and there was also a comic book maker.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Do you know what they also did before they did any science experiment?
What?
They would play Gaga Ball.
Okay.
And sometimes they would play the Trapper.
What's the Trapper?
The Trapper is where, like, we all get on the checkerboard. Did I mention that there was a checkerboard?
No, but go ahead.
Near a big screen. And we would get, like, a volleyball or something like that. The one thing not to do in the Trapper is do it with a basketball or any other ball like that. Do it with volleyball, like kickball, stuff. Do that.
Yeah, soft and bouncy because you're standing on screens, basically.
Yeah, basically, and the two counselors would be on the side, and if they hit us with. And they would roll the ball as fast as they could. And if they hit at us toe to knee, that part we would go on the sides and help them. So we weren't technically out.
You just had a different job.
Yeah, you just had a different job. Instead of just like, oh, jump, run away from the ball, jump, and run away. Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, I pretty much once won a game, and that was because I had luck.
Okay. Well, luck is important when you're playing games like that.
Yeah. And Gaga Ball, you need lots of luck when you have a horrible team.
Okay. So you played some games, you did some arts and crafts, there were all kinds of different things to do, some science experiments, some computers. Sounds like you had a blast.
Can I tell you about the science experiments?
Sure.
So you know what? We once did a volcano thing, and we also made our own flubber.
Very cool. Did you bring the flubber back to the stateroom and play with it there?
Yes, pretty much. But there was one thing I wanted to do, but I couldn't do it.
Oh. The flubber disappeared after a while.
I figured it might.
Yeah, it did. I was planning to throw it in somebody's face. I don't remember whose, but I think it was my little sister's face, Cecilia's. So, yeah. She was very annoying that night. So, I was like, grr. If you be, like, annoying one more time, I will throw that flubber on your face, and I do not care.
And that's when flubber disappears.
And that was when the flubber disappeared.
Yep, imagine that. One real big, you know, kind of thing with the kids club is it's great for to kind of give the kids a chance to do things separately from each other, which is not something they necessarily get to do all that often ever on a vacation.
Sure,
because especially when you've kind of got them all at the same sort of age groups roughly, but different interests, they really like kind of going their own way for a while.
All right, so why don't we shift gears a little bit, and we've heard a lot about the kids' specialty entertainment. let's hear a little bit about, you know, the especially adult entertainment, because you and your wife signed up for the wine tasting. So talk to me about the wine tasting.
Okay, the wine tasting was held at the Palo restaurant, kind of roughly, I'm going to say, about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. A lot of folks showed up, I'd say about 30-ish, and the sommelier. Sommelier. Basically went over about 6 or 7 different types of wine. It was a really good time. We actually had a lot of fun, I'd say, socializing with other folks at the wine tasting. Got to meet the folks that I'd mentioned before with that we later ran into at the spa. And also we ran into a sort of called great-grandmother and her daughter, who's grandmother herself. And the great-grandmother had actually been living near Disneyland back when it opened in the late 50s.
Oh, cool.
So that was kind of interesting hearing her descriptions of that.
Right.
But we had a real good time, and the sort of call it social mingling without the kids was kind of a nice treat to get to do.
Sure. So tell me about the wine. Was it good wine?
Yeah, it was. In fact, afterwards, my wife then would do a bit of wine pairing with her meals later, at the dinners later on, because, they did go over, some of the basics of the wine pairing and some of the different types. And, it was kind of I'll call it a good review of the basics.
Okay, good. And then you also did a solo tasting, the whiskey tasting.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I tend to drink scotch, kind of just a regular blend as my sort of, after work, relax for a bit drink. And it was nice to get a chance to try some of the single malt scotches, as well as, they had one, McCollum Select, which I'd never had before. And I don't know if it's unique to the Disney cruises. I started looking for it in local liquor store and wasn't able to find it. I really like McCollum, and this one I like even better than, say, their 15-year. So,
yeah, I'm a Macallan fan myself. I've got a Macallan 21-year archive that is wonderful. It's good stuff.
Yeah, well, if you get a chance on the cruise, definitely check out the McCollum Select. Because I was rather impressed, and yet I'd had the other McCollums before, and this one kind of really stood out. Probably not up there with a 21-year-old, but definitely worth trying.
Well, they all have their own character. The oldest isn't necessarily the best.
Yeah, and what was nice too is it wasn't just scotches; they also had some Canadian whiskey and bourbon and a few other things. So it was nice to kind of get a bit of variety.
Yeah, sure. So how many whiskeys do you think you tasted?
I think 6 or 7.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's a nice variety.
Yeah. It was small portions of each, but, it was definitely a good selection of a bunch of different stuff.
All right. So I have to ask, you were on a 3-night cruise, which is a fairly short cruise, and you don't, as a result, have a lot of port stops, but tell me about ports. Were there ports, that you did get off the ship and explore a little bit, and what did you do in those port stops?
Well, we did Castaway Cape. That was the only one we actually got off of the ship for, and at Castaway Cape, we did the stingray encounter, which was really cool. You actually get to feed the stingrays as well as pet them and swim with them. And I was amazed at basically how much interaction you get with them. I mean, you pretty much get as much contact as you could ever want with the stingray.
Yeah, I'm a little jealous. We were scheduled to do that on our cruise, and it had to be canceled because of high winds.
Ooh.
Because they do it in that little cove there, on Castaway Key, and when the wind kicks up the sort of tray that they use with the stingrays to isolate them, they can't use it because it's not stable enough. So I'm a little jealous. I missed it.
Yeah, that I would say, definitely the next time you go, try to make, to check that out. Okay, Christine, what do you want to say?
There was a good thing about the stingray encounter.
Okay. What was it?
They had their bars off.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So you didn't get stung.
Pretty much.
Anything else about Castaway Key that you especially enjoyed, Christina?
Yes, I enjoyed everything.
Okay. You can know about the snorkeling. We went snorkeling.
Yes. We found 2, 3, 4, 5 fish.
Yeah. Okay.
And go ahead.
And we also found a sunken treasure.
Yep.
Which was a jar.
Okay.
Yeah, and I asked Dad, I found a sandy island thingy, Mabob. I'm like, Dad, want to go to that thing? And he's like, no way.
Yeah, that was a bit too far of a swim. But, what's nice with the snorkeling stuff is in addition to the fish, they've got, some sort of hidden treasures that they've buried out in the reef that you actually can, go and explore.
Right, right. Yeah, it does kind of add to the sense of adventure of it all. So you did some snorkeling, you checked out the stingrays. Got to ask, it's a lot of time in the water. How was the water there at Castaway Key in early February?
Actually, we lucked out. It was a beautiful day. Mm-hmm. I'd say mid-70s, the water temperature, a little cold getting in, but we got used to it pretty quickly. The girls all went out to the Pelican Plunge, as did I, which is kind of the water slide. It's actually out there in the ocean, a fair distance away. So, for the kids, it's a bit of effort to actually swim to just the water slides themselves.
Right, that's true.
But they do also have life preservers there. So if, we had all the kids, even though they're pretty good swimmers, wear those just in case. Because, if you're getting tired or stuff, you don't want to, take any chances.
Yeah, that's a good tip because swimming in the ocean is just different than swimming in a pool. Even in a relatively calm area like that cove there off Castaway Key, because there are waves to deal with, and it's really easy to misjudge distance and how tired you are.
Yeah. Yeah. So, her wanting to swim out to the island, that sandy island was a lot farther out there than I think she was thinking it was.
All right. Anything else that you enjoyed about Castaway Key that we haven't talked about yet?
Can I tell you a bit more about Pelican Plunge?
Sure.
Because he did not go on any of the water slides.
I did. Yeah, I went on the covered one because I think Catherine was afraid to try it.
Oh, yeah, you did. He tested out. And you know what I think was cool? That we could actually swim in the ocean over 6 feet, which I've probably done before because, hello, I'm a very good swimmer, and pretty much I've swam over 13 feet before. I think it was 13 or 14 feet I've swam over.
Okay.
Yeah, the local high dive is about 13. Actually, I think it's 17 feet.
Yeah.
It's pretty deep water there. But, you're a very good swimmer. But, yeah, even though you're a very good swimmer, I'm still happy you and your sister were wearing those life preservers.
What? I don't like doing all the work.
Yeah, that's a good point. You don't have to do all the work then.
Yeah.
All right. So let's kind of bring it on back. Before we start the wrap-up piece here. Anything about the cruise itself that I haven't asked you about, but that either you think is important that other people should know about it, or you want to warn people about, or any of that?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
About one of the restaurants on Castaway Key.
Okay. Cookies too is where we ate.
Yeah, it's actually good. It's buffet style. And do you know what I like?
What?
It's they even serve my favorite food,
which is
banana bread.
Oh, yum!
Yeah. So I'm like, And I'm like, well, since it's a buffet, I could and they have pretty much anything somebody would want at a regular, you know, buffet. Cheeseburgers, hot dogs, you know.
Yeah, very kid-friendly food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's essentially an island cookout, basically.
Yep.
Yeah, and they also served ice cream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had soft serve stations where you could basically serve yourself and different flavors and do twists of vanilla and chocolate, and that worked out really good for dessert.
Good. Okay. And it, basically what Disney does on Castaway Cay is that you've got, you know, Cookies and Cookies 2, and they're basically carbon copies of each other. Just spread out a little bit so that they can serve more people at a time.
Can I say something a bit more?
Sure.
For all those bike riders out there that are hearing this, they also have bike trails.
Yeah, they do. They do bike trails and bike rentals.
Yes.
Did you get a chance to take a bike around, or were you already booked up for the day?
It was already round time to leave, so we just wrapped it up at Pelican Point.
Yeah. That's the hardest part about Castaway Cay, is that there's so much stuff to do that you got to leave something out.
Yeah, I know. And there's the fact that I don't know how to ride a bike.
That would make it more difficult.
I think the bikes they have there, they might have some three-wheel bikes or such that would be a little bit easier to manage, but I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either. I'd have to look into that a little more. All right, so let's get back on the ship after Castaway Cay, and you're heading back. Now, I did want to ask a little bit, because we kind of glossed over it really quickly, and I want to make sure there's not, you know, any more info that we need about it. You did mention briefly Pirate Night. So tell me about Pirate Night.
Okay, well, when we left Nassau, the sort of second night of sailing, about 9:45 or so at night, they did a pirate party, which was basically, I'd say, essentially starts out as a sort of hour-long group dance party where they've got a bunch of the characters like Mickey Mouse and Chip and Dale to come out and dance with the crowd. And there is a exciting incident where basically bad guys take over. But okay. Things get sorted out, and at the end they have a fireworks display.
Yeah.
And were you guys up on top deck for the whole party, or did you just come up for the fireworks?
Well, the kids actually wanted to stay in the kids' club for the sort of first part, so they missed some of the excitement. But I will keep the part about Mickey Mouse secret, okay? So that's a spoiler. You don't want to tell folks what happens with that. But I brought them up just in time to see that, and then shortly thereafter they do the fireworks display.
All right. All right, so I think we've covered the whole cruise pretty thoroughly. Let's kind of bring it back to port, and one thing that I think is helpful to people sometimes is to hear about the sort of process stuff. So you get back to port and you kind of dock almost in the middle of the night or very early in the morning. So tell us about mustering off, basically how you concluded the cruise.
Okay. Yeah, around, I'd say, 7:30 in the morning was when they sort of announced that folks could begin disembarking. And there was already a pretty long line kind of stretching through the lobby of folks that I presume were kind of probably getting off early to catch plane flights or had some pretty urgent need. We went back to the last restaurant that you dined at for dinner, which for us was Lumiere's. And they had sit-down breakfast for you if you wanted, and we did. It was actually a really good breakfast. I forget exactly what I had, but I think it was like the chef's surprise or something like that.
It was.
Yeah, but really, really tasty. And also I'd stopped at the kind of photo area. I'd pre-ordered 10 basically pictures on a CD from our trip, because at various times there'll be opportunities to pose with characters or when you're boarding the ship or such to get some, you know, sort of family pictures and stuff like that, much like the old photo pass, which I guess is now my magical experience or something like that.
Memory maker is what they call it.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, I love the concept. It's just tough keeping track of all the name changes.
I know. And they all seem to have my something about them, but they do, the cruise ships still use the PhotoPass moniker, so they do have photographers taking pictures and packages available. So you'd pre-purchased a 10 photo package and you went and checked those out. They call the you know, photo area shutters. You might want to describe for people kind of how they organize shutters.
When you kind of come in, they have a bunch of computer kiosks set up where you can look up based on your, you know, sort of information where to go and look at your photos that have been printed out. Basically, they print out all of these photos and they put them in binders, and you can go and look at the hard copies of that. I think you could also look at the digital photos, but I was having a tough time getting that to work, so I just wound up looking at the hard copies.
Okay.
Now, if you wind up ordering it on CD, you actually don't have to select your 10 photos at that particular point in time. Instead, you basically are given a CD with all of the pictures on it. But then when you get home, you select the 10 which you want to unlock.
Interesting. So they're on the disc and you can kind of preview them. But then you have to pick 10 that you can actually do things with.
Yeah, and I did have a little bit of complaint that they don't really, you know, have a great, or the kind of preview size they give you is somewhat small. It's okay, but it's not great.
Yeah.
So I wound up selecting at least one photo that's like, oh, I would have gone with a better one had I had a little bit better resolution to be able to see it more clearly. But that's a small complaint. Overall, the process went pretty good, and I managed to get 6 or 7 good photos that I was happy with.
All right. Well, that's good. So you've checked out your photos. You had a breakfast. You checked out your photos at Shutters. Where'd you go after that?
We went back to our stateroom and picked up our luggage and basically then just headed right off the ship. You could have left your luggage outside your room the night before and they would have picked it up around 10:30 or so. We weren't sure how long, you know, it would take to kind of get your luggage, after you disembarked. So we were more comfortable just carrying it off. Offhand, from what I could see, it looked like folks did get their luggage pretty, you know, speedily, which is a good thing. I'd heard horror stories from folks on other cruises where it took hours.
Yeah, the one advantage of that is that they, you know, they carry it off for you, so you just have to, they have it all laid out on tables when you get into the terminal, and you can just pull it from the table. But you still got to walk your luggage through customs, so, you know.
Yeah, and we did go through customs, relatively speedy process, and then we just basically walked across to the parking garage and loaded up the Suburban, and we were set to start headed back home.
All right. Well, why don't I give you each a chance to maybe share just one last, you know, important tip, something you want other people who are taking considering a similar vacation, something they should know. So, Christina, you first. What's something that somebody who's thinking about a cruise like the one you took, what would you tell them?
Save the best things for last. Like, let's say you want to go to the Frozen and it's, you know, somewhere near the beginning and there's also one near the end of the cruise. Go for it at the end of the cruise.
Okay. And David, how about you? Any last advice or tips?
Yeah, actually, I would say if you want to do the aquedunk, do it early, like when the, you know, kind of the first day before you leave port, because the lines are a lot shorter.
Okay.
I agree.
Good tip. Helpful. Thank you. Well, thank you both so much for sharing your experience on the Disney Magic, and we really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much, Aaron. It was fun, especially having Christina along. She's been pestering to do a Diz Dads podcast for, ever since I did my very first one. So now she's finally had a chance to do it.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation, right at the start of everything that's new. One little spark lights up for you. So glad you could come along. I am the Dreamfinder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. Never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer, but a lovable fella. From head to tail, he's royal purple pigment, and there, voila, you've got a figment of imagination.
Bye.